In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. These two verses, the first passage taken from the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 1, the second passage taken from the New Testament in John chapter 1, both in a lot of ways bookend the Bible, but they speak of the same thing. Both passages speak of the same thing, and that's this: purpose. Specifically, God's purpose in creation, that everything we know, everything that we can see, everything we can touch and feel and all of those things was created by God on purpose. Now, this is 2018, and it's okay to believe whatever you want to believe these days, and so you don't have to believe that God created all of those things. You can believe that all of those things, everything we can see and touch and feel and hear and know and all of that, that just it created itself, or it created out of randomness. It just came to be. You can believe that in our world today. But if you do, I just want you, and we're not, by the way, we're not going to debate who's right and who's wrong and all that. That's not what this time is for. But I want you to see that if you believe in that randomness, if you buy into that, you cannot, by default, believe in the purpose. Because purpose cannot exist in a world that's governed by randomness. Purpose cannot exist in a world that's governed by coincidence or happenstance. Good afternoon, everybody. How are you doing? Doing well. My name is Robert Kahn. I'm one of the pastors here at Reality Church. We're so glad that you are here. We are in week three, which is also our final week of our Within Reach series. And we started off 2 weeks ago, talking about how God's peace, that shalom, that peace with God, is also within reach for us. We can have that. We can have that peace in this crazy world that we live in. And then last week, Jake did a great job talking about how freedom is within reach, and how we can understand freedom even by all the things that seem to have us imprisoned in our lives. And this week we're talking about, obviously, purpose, but more specifically, how purpose is within reach. Your purpose, like the purpose of your life, is within reach. And so that's what we're going to finish out this series with. And like I said before, no one's telling you what to believe, okay? You don't have to believe that God created the universe, okay? I'll let you know just so you're aware. We do, right? That's what we believe, so spoiler alert, okay? But we're not going to twist your arm if you don't want to believe that tonight, okay? But what I want you to see is that purpose cannot come from randomness. Purpose comes from a person. That is the big difference. And you know, that's why you guys are here, whether you know it or not, is your purpose. And we go through life wondering, what is our purpose? We ask God, what is our purpose? But how purpose is within reach. We're going to look at a couple of verses tonight, and I'll start with the first one, and then I'll show you the second one towards the end. But the first scripture we're going to look at is in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, and here's what it says. From one man... It's talking about Adam, by the way. Adam and Eve, all the way back to the garden. Remember the creation? We just read it. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. From one man, he fills the entire earth, and he determines for everybody, like the exact times and the exact places that they would live. Now, if God puts that much thought and intentionality into that, doesn't it stand to reason that he knows exactly where you fit in that story? And so even though you may not understand yet, you may not know where you fit, doesn't it stand to reason that if he did that, that he at least knows where you fit in there. And because of this, guys, you guys are here. You made it. You're alive. You're here on this earth. You were born. You learned how to walk. And then now look at you. You made it to church tonight. Way to go. But no, no, no. Ask yourself, why am I here? Not why are you here at church, okay? We're glad you're here. We're glad you, we hope you come back, right? But ask that bigger question. Why am I here? Why do I exist? Why am I the way that I am? Why was I born to the parents I was born to? Do you ever lie in bed at night and ask those really large, grand questions? You know, like, God, what on earth am I here for? Why did you create me? What is your will for my life? Why can no one in Papillion seem to know what a stop sign is for, right? These really large life questions that we have to deal with. There are so many questions and so many unknowns that we approach and that we have to deal with every day. And it can get pretty daunting at times. But even amongst all those unknowns, all of those questions, we can know some things for certain. We can go to the Bible, we can see what God has to say, and we can know some truths. We can know things like God made all of us on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. You are not an accident. You're like, well, I don't know. My daddy used to say that I was an accident. Your daddy shouldn't have said that. You're not an accident, okay? We can know some truths. And here, I just want to go over a few of these. You could write these down. We can know some things for certain because of what Scripture tells us. Number one, that God wanted us alive so bad that he created us. Psalm 138:8 says that God will fulfill his purpose for my life. Now, I don't want to second guess God or doubt God, but that's going to be more difficult for him to do if I'm not alive. Okay, and so we know that God wanted us alive so much that he created us. Not only that, he custom made us. He custom made the way we are. Psalm 139, 14 and 15 says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And there was never a time in history that my body, my frame, my being, who I am and what I'm about, it was never a time that was hidden from God's sight. And there never will be. He custom made you, okay? Now, you may not like some of those things, but don't just think physical appearance or personality, right? Think giftings and abilities and passions and those sorts of things. He custom designed you. God declared when you would be born. Psalm 139:16 says that all the days of my life, from the very beginning to the very end, were written down by God long before any of them ever took place. All of them. All the days of your life, right? All, like sands to the hourglass. All the days of our life were written down by God. He knew that. He saw that long ago. Not only did he declare when, he declared where we would be born. Remember the verse we started with? Acts 17, verse 26. From one man he created, he basically filled all the earth and determined the exact times and the exact places that they would live. God had you born exactly where you were on purpose. So all of you, you know, angsty youngins that are just like, man, first chance I get, I'm out of here, right? Like, if you have a problem, take that up with God. Don't be mad at your parents, okay? And listen, the grass is not always greener on the other side. I met a guy in Southern California last year, Southern California, who told me he gets tired of the nice weather. I was like, please explain that to me. He's like, I just long for snow and bad weather and storms. I'm like, okay, look, I don't know that I could get tired of living in a place where it's normally 72 and sunny, but I'd like to find out if I could. Who's with me? Yeah, I'd like to know if I could get tired of that. Not only did he determine when and where, guys, he ordained how you would be born. Your nationality, your race, the parents that you would be born to. Now, some of you at this point are like, oh, okay, you lost me there. I was tracking with you and it was all good, but you don't know my parents, right? And I don't. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter if your parents were good bad, or absent. It doesn't matter. And while there are illegitimate parents, there are never illegitimate children. Many children are unplanned by their parents, but no child is ever unplanned by God. God always has a purpose for what he creates. He never makes mistakes. And he has a reason for everything that he creates. And he created you. He created you. You're not an accident. And not only did he do all of this, guys, God really and truly loves you. I mean, more than just, I know God loves me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 say that God chose us before creation. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. God chose you before creation. Before the world was created, God chose you. And then it goes on to say, because he loves us, he chose to adopt us as his children through Jesus Christ. You don't do that with people you kind of like. You do that with people you absolutely love and are crazy about. God loves you. And then, to top it all off, he created you with a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship. We are God's masterpiece. We are his work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has something for you to do, and he thought about what that something was long ago. My theory is right about the same time he was choosing you before creation. That's when he prepared those good works for you to do. Guys, this is all true, and you can rest in knowing this. This is what we can know amongst all the questions and doubt. In 2003, my wife Shelly and I were living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I had just then at that time decided to go into full-time ministry. I had been doing ministry since I was a teenager, honestly. I just thought that's what you do. You go and you help and you serve and you volunteer at church. That's what you do. But at this time, you know, we were married and I was working in outside sales for this company, and I just realized, you know what, I just really enjoy doing this, and I want to do it all the time. I don't want to just do it in the evenings or whatever. I love doing this. And I thought, I'll be honest with you, I thought that I was finding my purpose, that I was discovering God's will for my life, and that God would, in a way, somehow reward me. Almost like a congratulations. Like, hey, you did it, man. You found your purpose. You finally found my will for your life. Congratulations. Here you go. Here's the open door. I kind of thought that. And I was wrong. What I thought would only take a few days or a few weeks ended up taking a couple of years. I found myself in this really hard tension of being at having to do a job that I knew I wasn't called to do, but that's what I had to do. That was the only thing that was available. And knowing really for the first time in my life what it is that I wanted to do and what I felt like God was calling me to do, but not being able to do it. And I found myself in this tension. That was a really dark time for me. I questioned God. I doubted God. I got angry at God a lot. But that wasn't the only thing. I studied more about God. I pressed into God, right? Because you also do those things during those times. And it was during that time that I ran across this book, Shattered Dreams by Larry Crabb. And the premise of this book is how the Holy Spirit uses moments like that in our lives. When we're in that tension, we're crying out to God to do something, and it's almost like he's absent, almost like he's not answering our prayer. At least we don't think he is. And how the Holy Spirit uses those moments in our life to reveal to us our deeper desire, which is for God himself. And I don't know about you if you've ever read a book that like at the time was just perfect for where you were at. That was this book for me during that time. And you know, if you read a book, you'll kind of earmark a page for something that jumps out at you. Guys, I earmarked 83 pages out of this book. I underlined so much stuff in this book that it would have been faster and easier, and I would have saved ink to underline the things that did not speak to me out of this book, okay? And I want to read just a quick little thing to you here from it. It says this: God's restraint has a purpose. When he appears to be doing nothing, he's doing something we've not yet learned to value and therefore cannot see. Only in the agony of his absence, both in the real absence of certain blessings and in the felt absence of his presence, will we relax our determined grasp of our empty selves to appreciate his purposes. He could do something, and yet he does nothing, at least not what we ask him to do. Why? To deepen our desire for his presence, to strengthen our passion to pursue him, to help us see how preoccupied we are with filling our God-shaped souls with something less than God. I'm a huge fan of this book, and I recommend it to anyone, especially if you're in a moment like that in your life. But I do want to do this. If that's you and you're here tonight and you find yourself in a time like that, come find me afterwards. I want to give you this book, okay? Because I think it's going to really help you out a lot where you're at. Because I don't know where you're at. I don't know if any of that makes sense to you. I don't know if you can resonate with anything in that story. But if you can, let me challenge you in this way. Don't settle for a smaller purpose than God. Don't settle for anything smaller than God when it comes to your purpose and what you're going to be about. So I want to give you three things you can do, three things you can immediately plug in and begin to change how you think about why you're here and what's God's will for my life and all of those questions that are going to keep you up at 1 a.m., okay? Three things you can do. Number one, drop the excuses. Drop the excuses. Stop making excuses and using those excuses to not do anything, okay? Now, excuses are like the little spaces in between your toes. Most of us have several of them, and they usually stink. Those are excuses, okay? And here are some excuses that maybe you've said, maybe you've heard. I know I'm guilty of some of these. First one, I'm tired and busy. I'm tired and busy. Right, I'm tired and busy. Okay, you're tired and busy. Stop using that as an excuse to not do anything. Now, notice, I'm not saying that you're not tired and busy. Okay? You probably are. Maybe you're working two jobs. Maybe you're a single mom. Maybe your job requires you to travel a lot. Maybe you have four or five kids. No doubt, you are tired and you are busy. But stop using that as an excuse to not do what you know God wants you to do. Do you know who's not tired and busy? Dead people. They're not. They're not tired or busy. They're also not doing anything. Okay? Everyone understands what it's like to be tired and busy. When's the last time you've ever asked somebody how they were doing and they responded, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just whelmed. No one's ever just whelmed. Everyone's always overwhelmed. Like, how are you? I'm whelmed. Good. Everybody understands this. So stop using that as an excuse. Another excuse: I've done things that disqualify me. Every time I see this one, I think, well, there's somebody who hasn't read the Bible. Have you guys read the Bible? Like, do you read the stories in the Bible? Do you read about the people that God used in the Bible? And then you compare your life to them and you're like, yeah, I'm doing a little better than they. Guys, God uses all kinds of people. Now, look, no doubt, you may have done some things that come with baggage, that come with consequences, that come with, you know, things that you need to deal with in your life. I get that. But don't think that you can outdo what God wants to do in your life. Read the Bible. Read about how God uses these people. And why does God use these people who seemingly are just making just terrible life choices? Because it's God's glory that he's trying to promote, not theirs. It's his own. It's his story that he's telling, not theirs. So drop this excuse. And then this one, I love this one. It's too late for me. It's too late for me, Robert. I'm old now, you know. I'll let the youngins do all the things. I did all the things back in my day. Now it's their turn to do all the things, right? No. You know how I know for a fact it's not too late for you? Because you're breathing. I'm assuming. I can't really quite see everyone's face, but I'm assuming everyone is breathing in here. Guys, if you're not dead, you're not done. You're not. God still wants to use you. Get these examples. Kimani Maruge enrolled in the first grade when he was 84 years old. Because why not? Yeah. Smokey Dawson, an Australian country music performer, at the age of 92 said, I have an idea. I want to release an album. And so he did. I have no idea what it sounds like, but he did it. Right? Because why not? Retired Lieutenant Colonel James C. Warren, a former navigator of the Tuskegee Airmen, when he was 87, became the oldest person in the world to receive his pilot license. Because it was probably a good time to do it. Guys, if you're not dead, you're not done. Drop the excuses already. Second thing, live intentionally. Live intentionally. Are you living intentionally? Think about your life. Think about how you're living. Are you living on purpose or are you living accidentally? Here's the difference. If you live accidentally, life just happens to you. You wake up, you expect something bad's going to happen. Something bad happens. Yep, there it is. I expected it. It's going to happen. Your life is just happening. You're always the victim. Things are always happening to you, right? That's living accidentally. That's not living intentionally. You have to begin to live intentionally. Ask yourself, what is it that makes me feel alive? I love this quote by Howard Thurman. He says, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Don't look into the world and say, well, what does the world need today? And then try to fit into that. No, guys, ask what makes you come alive. Find, you already know this stuff. You already know what you're passionate about, what you just have to do. And go do that, because that's what the world needs ultimately. It's not people filling a gap. It's people coming alive and doing what God's created them to do. Live intentionally. We don't get to pick our purpose. Did you guys realize that? We don't get to pick our purpose. God picks that for us. I mean, a shovel doesn't pick its purpose. There's a hole that needs to be dug. All of a sudden, the shovel has a purpose. A hammer doesn't pick its purpose. There's a nail. All of a sudden, the hammer has a purpose. There's a need that happens, and then the purpose is discovered by the thing. Okay, God did not call me into full-time ministry and then create a world that was broken and needed full-time pastors. It didn't work that way. Rather, the world was broken and it needed people speaking truth into it. Interstage teenage Robert, who starts going to church for the first time, who God calls, and at first he created, right? And then he starts to equip and train. I remember being in church, just like you guys are here, hearing the preacher talk, and he would say things every now and then. I thought, oh, man, that's great. I love that, right? And so I'd write it down in the back of my Bible, you know, those little one-liners. And I remember thinking, man, one of these days, if I ever get to say something in front of people, I'm going to say that because I love that. It was really cool what he said. I thought that was normal. I thought everybody did that. Come to find out, not everybody dreams about speaking in front of large crowds. I didn't know that. I literally thought everybody did that. So God, I could see God began to working in me and begin to equip me, and he taught me, and then he brought others around me who could continue to teach me. And then as I got older, he began to let me see and feel some of that brokenness that was in the world. And then I got a little older, and he began to get me really discontent with that brokenness. And then he got me thinking, maybe, just maybe I can, I don't know, could I do something about that brokenness? Right? I thought I was finding my purpose. like it was just lost this whole time. And the truth was, God knew it all along. I was discovering what God knew all along. It's like that kid looking for his shoes, and the parent knows where they are the whole time. We go to God and we say, God, can you, what's your will for my life? Can you help me find my shoes? You know, and God, like the parent who knows exactly where the shoes are, he knows exactly what our purpose is because he put it there. He created it. He throws these little hints out every now and then, like, I don't know, have you looked under your bed? Yeah, look there. They're not there. No, no, no. Under your bed, not on the bed. Oh, okay, found them, right? Like, God knows this. And here's the thing, guys. Here's the danger. It's entirely possible for you to go through your entire life and not live out what God has purposed you to live out. It's possible. It's a tragedy, but it's possible. You, as a believer, you can live accidentally enough to the point where when you die, you'll go to heaven, you'll enjoy the party, but the net effect of your life will be not experiencing the benefit and the blessing that God has for you today. Now, further, neither will we. No one else around you will be able to benefit from that blessing either. Because think about those really gifted people that you know, right? The just God-gifted talents in teaching and doctors and musicians and artists and all of those people who are clearly doing what God has gifted them to do. Don't we collectively benefit from them? Don't we, when they do what they're meant to do, we sit back and go, oh, man, that's so awesome. Like, I couldn't do it, but man, I'm glad you're doing that. Like, others benefit when you do what God has gifted you to do. The last thing, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Guys, just like the sands through the hourglass, right? We don't get to create more time. We don't get to create any more time than what's given to us. So live intentionally, open your eyes, and ask yourself, what is it that's already there? Like, if I died today, would the people around me, the people that know me and love me, would they be able to explain to others what my purpose was? Would they be able to explain what my life was about? And I've already said this, but I'll say it super clearly this time. You probably already know what your purpose is. You probably already have had those hints. Guys, here's the deal. I never really thought I was going to end up doing what I'm doing. I just, looking back, it makes perfect sense. It's like, oh, that's why that was always interesting to me and all those sorts of things. You know what everyone that I knew, friends and family, collectively told me when I said that I was going into full-time ministry? Almost to a person. Well, it's about time. I mean, we always thought you'd end up there eventually. I'm like, what? Why didn't you tell me? I thought I was finding this out on my own. So not only do you already probably know a lot of this stuff, those closest to you who know you and love you, they know it too. They see it in you. They see those things that you just have to do, that just drives you, those things that make you come alive. They know that kind of stuff. Guys, don't get hung up looking for God's will for your life. Don't get hung up searching for God's purpose for your life. Get hung up on God. Get hung up searching for God. Find God. His purpose will find you. This is what it says in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek God first. You'll find your purpose. Remember the verse we started with, Acts 17? From one man he made every nation that they should inhabit the whole earth and determine the times set for them in the exact places where they should live. Why? Why would God do this? Why would he do that? Well, fortunately for us, the very next verse tells us. Verse 27. God did this so that men would, what's this? Seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, although he's not far from each one of us. Guys, God wants us to reach out. to seek, to reach out and find him. And when we find him, we're going to realize, oh, he really wasn't that far off to begin with. Guys, purpose is within reach because God is within reach. Your purpose, your will, God's will for your life, why you're here, all of that, your purpose for living is within reach because God is within reach. And so if you're not clear what that is, seek God, find him, and he'll show you your purpose. And when he shows you, I promise you, it's not going to be like completely weird to you. It's going to be like, yeah, that makes sense. Because his purpose will fit. It will fit with what is already there. I know it will. So I failed to mention that we were going to have some Q&A at the end of the sermon. Hopefully you guys are kind of accustomed to that already. So hopefully you have sent in some questions. But if not, I'll be available after. I don't know if we have any questions or not. Yep, there we go. Does the fact that God sets out our path ahead of time mean the choices we make are actually made by God and not ourselves? No, I don't think so. I think we live in a world where free will is a possibility. I think, obviously, God is omniscient, meaning God knows everything. There's a passage in scriptures. I can't remember where it's at exactly, but it shows how Jesus not only knew, how God not only knows what's going to happen, but he also knows what could happen based on a different decision. So like every infinite possible possibility, God knows. So he knows a lot, okay? I think God knows our decisions. He knows if we're going to take a right when we had that right or left decision to take. I think he knows that. But I think he loves us enough to let us make that decision. Because a lot of times it's about obedience. God wants to know what we're going to do when presented certain decisions. And so he doesn't line out our path and then watch us like rats run the maze that he set out for us. But because he's God and the future is not somewhere that he sees, the future is somewhere that he is. That'll blow your mind if you think about it long enough, right? He knows this information. And so I think it's up to us as we're following after him to do our best to make those decisions based on what we think pleases God and would honor God and those sorts of things. And so great, great question. I currently work in ministry using my God-given gift. Financially, I feel like I can't afford to work for a nonprofit anymore. Do you think God gives us a time to work in ministry and a time to be more self-serving in a person's career? I may answer this a little differently being on this side of the full-time ministry vocation than someone who is not, but I would say this. What I learned in Tulsa during that dark time was that my desire was for a position. My desire was not for purpose. What I learned that what I thought was, I want to work for God. That's my purpose in life, was to work for God. Guys, that was not my purpose in life. My purpose in life was not to work for God. My purpose was God. What I do was a vocation. What I do now is a vocation for how I live out my purpose for God. And so no matter if you work for a church or if you are a teacher or whatever you are, if you're a high-capacity volunteer or not, we are all called to follow after God. Some of us do it as teachers. Some of us do it as police officers. Some of us do it as ministers, right? We all have different vocations, but we all have, in a sense, the same calling. We are all ministers, right? We are all called to do the same thing. And so I don't know that I would draw that hard of a line to say that working for God is one thing, and then all the other stuff is another thing. I don't know that I would draw that hard of a line. I personally think God has given me the gift to be able to work at a church, but not because I can't do anything else. Like, what I was doing in Tulsa, I was really good at. Like, I was really good in outside sales. But it wasn't what was in me, right? It wasn't what was made me feel alive and compelled me and woke me up every morning and just thought, I have to do this, right? And so it's not because I can't do anything else. So no matter what you're doing, man, do it with all your heart. Do it as if to please God, no matter where that position is. And I may have made that way more complicated than what it was meant, and I'm sorry if I did. Come find me afterwards. I'll apologize in person. So, can we have more than one purpose? Well, this is a great question. We got a similar question earlier today, and I would say this. I think there's two levels, almost like a macro and a micro purpose. A macro would be we are all called to serve God and love God and follow after Him, right? And then there's those micro purposes of maybe you're called to be really good at an instrument or showcase your talents in this particular way that I'm not, okay? So I think in that way, you can have maybe more than one purpose when it's down here, but ultimately, I don't think we can have more than one purpose. I think all of our purposes are the same on that macro level, and that is love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as ourselves, right? I mean, that's that macro, what are we all here to do sort of thing. But yeah, I think this could be played out in a lot of ways. It may change, right? God tells people to do certain things for a season, and then He may tell them to do something else for a season. God can do that. He's that big. Let me finish with this, guys, because I think we're done with questions. This Sunday, today, is Palm Sunday, which means next week is Easter Sunday. And Palm Sunday typically represents the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem and everyone cheered Him on and treated Him like the true king that He was, okay? But sitting on a throne and ruling some people in Jerusalem was not Jesus' purpose. It was not what He came to do. He came to lay down His life for us and to ultimately do what we are going to celebrate next week on Easter. Okay, so come back next week. But don't come back alone. Bring somebody with you because celebrations are always better when they're with people that we know and love. Okay, so grab one of these cards on your way out and just give this to somebody that you know and say, I would love for you to come to my church next Sunday. It's a great day to invite people, and because a lot of people are willing to go to church on Sunday. It has our service times on here, and we want you to do that. We want you to come back next week and celebrate Easter with us, okay? So let me pray for you, and again, if that's you, if you find yourself in a really difficult time right now, come see me. I got a book for you. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for that You give us reason to live, that You give us a reason to wake up every morning. And sometimes I know that may be hard to see. Sometimes we go through those times in life where it gets cloudy and it gets confusing and we start to doubt whether or not we can see it clearly. I get that. And so I pray if anybody's in here that You will just begin to show them their greater desire for You and help them not to get so focused on the little left and right decisions and the small details of that, but help them see their greater desire, which is following after You, learning about You, submitting to You, living for You. That's all of our prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name.